The dimensions of perception are varied, and I wanted to speak about them because I think that they are very relevant to the new deity who has just been installed in St. Petersburg. Ganesha is there, and so it is a very actually significant event that Ganesh has decided to also reside in our center in St. Petersburg. Ganesh is a very interesting personality, and I think the key or the entranceway into the higher dimensions. Now, I use the term higher dimensions in the same way that we usually use such terms, which means the expanded dimensions. Because in actual reality, when it comes to the compassionate consciousness, there is no higher or lower, meaning better or worse. For whatever consciousness you have, in whatever way it may be, that is exactly your position. It is from that position that you will evolve. And yet we can use the word higher when we refer to it as more expanded, that which gives us greater perception, that which gives us greater connection and contact with all things. But just like a mother or a father would not think of their consciousness as higher consciousness than the baby, but would think of it as a little bit more expanded of the practical reality around it. And in fact, sometimes the mother would marvel at the consciousness of the baby as so pure, as so clear, as so simple and unproblematic. Because with that expanded awareness comes many expanded situations and difficulties and problems which are causing life to have some little blips and ruptures. So Ganesh, he's the gateway through which the consciousness can flow into expanded awareness. He's the key, he's the doorway, he's the opening, and he's the invitation. Even it is stated by Rupa Goswami, even it is stated in the Vedic literatures that Ganesh fulfills that role of removing obstacles, which means opening the pathways. He is very satisfied with that role. It is very compatible with his unlimited intelligence, practically speaking, compared to any of us. Let me tell you a little story about Ganesh, which you'll find, I think, illuminating. Ganesh is the older brother of Kartikeya. And in all families, there are sibling rivalries. Who's the best son? Who is better than the other? Now, this exists in all levels of the family relationships in this universe because it is just one of the natures of families. And that's not a bad thing. It just doesn't carry with it the same kind of judgments or condemnations or long-term resentments that are there in this world, earthly planet. But it is more a friendly competition. Now, Kartikeya, he's very clever, very strong, very powerful, of course, the general of the demigods, and is very fast, can figure things out quickly, can do a lot. In other words, is very expert in dealing with material situations, practical situations. Ganesh, on the other hand, is very philosophical, very peaceful, extremely intelligent, and doesn't waste energy, and is a sweet person, not like the sometimes sharpness of the more Kshatriya nature, shall we say. He's sweet, he's concerned, he's compassionate, and he's not as chubby, as they say. So Lord Shiva, their father, he knows about this rivalry and smiles at it. In fact, he enjoys it. It's something he relishes. You know, if life is just all the time the same thing, it becomes very boring. So these little stimuluses are very good for everybody. So one day, when the competition became a little bit raucous, Lord Shiva said, "Let us see who is the best of my sons." Now, let's not make a mistake here. He knew perfectly well there is no best, there is no worst. None of this means anything. None of this matters. And he also knew that it was just for fun. And just for fun, he said, "Let's have a little contest. Who will be able to go around the planet or this space and around the planet the fastest and come back to me? Who can go around this universal space the fastest and come back?" So then he said, "Go." And Kartikeya, of course, in his very expert way, flew so fast on his carrier all around, and within a moment came back, but found Ganesh was already there. And he knew Ganesh did not go that way. He was watching. Ganesh did not go that way. And then Lord Shiva said, "Ganesh has won." And Kartikeya saying, "That's not possible. I know he didn't go." And Ganesh said, "Dear brother, I just circumambulated our father. If you go around Lord Shiva, you go around the whole universe." And Kartikeya knew once again his brother was smarter. There's just no way around it. There's no way you can be smarter than Ganesh. And that story very much characterizes their relationship and basically the relationship with all of us. Now, sometimes you will find people who are very intelligent and that really know how to use and express their intelligence. They're very rational. They can observe, analyze, comment, conclude very perfectly. Yet, you will find that their hearts are cold, or they are disconnected between their mind and their heart. There's a certain coldness in numbers, a certain coldness in facts. And that certain coldness is a characteristic of simply the mind. Now, I know it is a little bit unusual to think about, but if you think about the temperature or the color of the mind, it is cool. It is kind of like a grayish, clearish, whitish, light bluish. It's a cool thing. Even the colors of the chakras here, where we usually use the mental perception, are very bluish. I mean, of different shades, of course, but they have a coolness to them. That's why keeping a cool head is important if you want to be clear. Now, that is not good or bad. I mean, actually, it's fine. It's the nature of this area of the consciousness. It's cool. It's meant to be. You're meant to think in a cool way. Whereas the heart is warm in by nature. By nature, it's more of the reddish, the oranger colors, the more of the colors which bring about warmth. If you think about feeling the temperature of the heart, it's warm. I mean, that's after all what gives the body heat. And that is, of course, its nature. That is its purpose. It's the way in which we express. So a cool head and a warm heart are a perfect combination. Now, sometimes there's a problem with balancing these two things. Some people are totally in the cool head, and they therefore let cold air sink, right? The coldness sinks to the heart, and their heart becomes also cold or covered. So they are missing part of the dimension of the wholeness that should be there. And then there are those who are just very boiling in the heart, very passionate, very, very much part of feeling, and very irrational like that. And warm air rises, so their brain kind of boils too. So it's kind of like a kitchen. You've got to have the stove and the refrigerator. If your kitchen only has a refrigerator, you eat cold food all the time. If your kitchen only has a stove, then everything gets spoiled. So you need both things. And similarly, in a real personality who's very complete, you've got to have the cool head, the warm heart, so that the temperature in the middle here, your words, the way you do things, this is a very even, comfortable, nice Caribbean temperature. And it's not just irrational behavior, and it's not just totally rational behavior. It's a good, healthy mixture of the two. And you will see in Ganesh the absolute perfect balance of these two things. A beautiful heart, a beautiful mind, and a beautiful way of expressing. Just a perfectly beautiful person. Now, of course, Ganesh is required for us who are spiritualists, because he gives us the pathway through which we can enter into the expanded dimensions. But actually, he feels most comfortable when the rest of his family is there. After all, he feels comfortable with his family. It's natural. And you can relate to this, to the six different aspects of the merry-go-round of life. Again, Kartikeya represents the practical action. He's got his career. Things work very well when he's around. He protects. Lakshmi is giving all of the prosperity and the means by which all of this can go on. Saraswati is giving all of that incredible knowledge and capacity to speak, expression. And Ganesh is facilitating all of this. And if you think of the father and mother, who are the father and mother of the whole universe, you have the spiritual support and the nurturing mother in Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati. And they are, of course, totally situated at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. They are directly expansions of their energy. They are so connected and so absorbed in their moods. And so able to give us the connections and the capacities here in this realm, which is their house, this universe, so that we can have the greatest possibility to connect to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. It is a wonderful team. There's no, shall we say, rivalry for our attention in any way. They're there to render service to us as we need, as we require, and as we ask. Now, some people make the mistake of thinking that they somehow or another, if we somehow offer them something, they're obliged to give to us. Whereas they'd like to set things up in such a way that we can evolve to our greatest potential, yet at the same time, we are following in a specific way to evolve and expand. In other words, it's not just simply you get something and you enjoy it, but you have to take the responsibility of evolution. So there's a simultaneous responsibility and assistance going on. You get the tools, you have a responsibility, you get more tools, you get more responsibility. So let's go back to the theme of the lecture, which actually all of this has been building upon. The dimensions of perception, which are directly connected to the particular way in which Ganesh will relate with all of us. Ganesh is the perfect cohesion, the perfect complementary package of perception. Now, let's for a second, not because in any way it should cause any difficulty or, shall we say, cast any doubts on these personalities, but just for a quick little comparison, we can understand a little bit more. There are some personalities who are very intelligent, very rational, very intellectual, and very cool. There are some personalities who are very passionate, very warm, very loving, very accepting, and very, very strong in their expressions from an emotional point of view. The cool intellectual rationalists perceive the world in that way, whereas the persons who are more intuitive, emotional, a little bit irrational, very fiery, perceive the world in that way. So this creates a dimension within which one perceives. So the intellectuals perceive within that particular dimension of rationality. The feelers, shall we call them, because there's really no... They perceive within that dimension of reality. I don't want to call them emotionalists, because that's a pejorative. It's the feelers, they in that perception of reality. So within those dimensions, there are rules, there are structures, there is better and worse developed. And there are also axiomatic principles which are accepted by the persons in those dimensions. Within the axiomatic principles of the intellectual, rational realm of dimension, everything has to make sense, it has to be verifiable, it has to be factual, it has to be observable, it has to be reproducible. And anything which is not within these realms of clarity have to be figured out somehow or another, have to be researched, have to be experimented with. We have to move forward. Our whole progression is to discover those hidden things. And in the dimension of the feeling, it has to feel right. It has to feel good. It has to be exciting. It has to give some impetus to action. And if it doesn't feel right, we have to do something to make it feel right. We have to just express ourselves in that way, sometimes explosively, sometimes dramatically, sometimes warm and lovingly and sweetly. Now, in those persons where these things are totally exclusive, not totally, nothing is totally, but a majority of their perception is exclusive of the other aspect, it's a kind of limited situation. And in one, the world is very airy. In the other, the world is much more, the world is airy and etherical. And down here, the water, the elements are more watery and fiery and earthy. Now, because of the imbalance, because of the concentration in one of these spheres, the dimensional perceptivity is limited. And when these two dimensions are superimposed upon each other, or shall we say, integrated, it develops further dimensions. This integration of these energies expands the dimension of perception far beyond either realm. But let us discuss now something which is deeper and more relevant, and which is actually a, shall we say, combination and expansion of these things. Usually, people are very much concerned with perception that has to do with the senses of this body. And because of being specifically interested in the perceptive capacities of the senses, they are limited. Then, the little bit more advanced add the perceptive capacity of the mind on top of that, so they have the six senses to deal with. Now, that is fine, and we don't have to talk about the difficulties that spiritualists have in increasing their perception, because we're all aware of it from our practical experience. However, we can speak about how understanding the interface between, actually this is a wrong way to put it, but I'll correct this afterwards, the spirit essence and the realm within that, within which that essence works, namely the energy, the etheric energy of a person. Now, the reason I said that didn't exactly sound right to me was because they are not essentially different. They are essentially of the same energy. But here we are just doing a bit of an analysis to try to help us enter into the world of deeper dimensional perception. Now, if you consider the chakras. Now, I know a lot of people talk about chakras, and it's kind of like more or less, in some respect, a very basic and elemental thing, and a lot of people think it's not important, especially religionists, but actually it's the essence of this perceptivity. Those aware of their energy and aware of the ways in which their energy manifests and the way energy manifests within them through this chakra network can expand their perceptivity into many multidimensional areas. Just simply by knowing the different colors that are most comfortable in the different chakras, you can understand so much about the nature of the way your body, its senses, your perceptivity works. But just knowing it, having heard it, having read it, it really doesn't get you to the point we're talking about. It's more information in the rational intellectual sphere, which is not what it's all about. What is more important to bring us to that higher, or shall we say, multidimensional perceptive level is the feeling and direct experience of the energies going out and the energies coming in of each energy center in the body. Because real perception includes the senses in a limited way and the energetic senses in the energy system of the body in a major way. These senses in this body are useful to us because we mainly relate to a world of food and sound and vision, so we don't trip and fall, and feelings of other persons, and very, shall we say, earthly dimensional activities. We do a lot of that stuff every day. So these senses have their place, but if we get stuck in this place, it's not very good for our evolution. Okay, it's maybe where we have to be, but if you want to go further, it's not useful. And when we understand these other energy levels, other energy centers as pathways, as gateways of perception into higher dimensions, we enter into the other dimensional realms. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that you can just all of a sudden, for instance, only concentrate on the Ajna chakra and zoom out of here and go fly off into different dimensions and be very happy with that. That's not what I'm talking about. That sounds very good. That sounds very exciting. That's not really the point. Now, when one enters into these other dimensions, I'm going to have to go all the way out there and then come back, because it's very hard to go from here and then logically bring you to there. That's not easy to do. I mean, you can do it, but it'll take a half an hour. I'll just do it the other way and save a lot of words. Let's go out there and then let's come back. Okay, so we're all out there already in these expanded realms of perception. We are perceiving in another kind of way, not a different kind of way, but in another kind of way which is much more expanded upon the way we perceive now. We also perceive this way now, but to a limited extent. So there in the multidimensional realms of perception, all of these systems of perception are functioning equally powerfully at the same time. I remember my first taste of this, and I'd like to share it with you. In 1971, I was recording Prabhupada's bhajans. And after the first recording, he asked me to play it back. So I did that. And somehow he was very happy with the recording. He was happy with the way he played. He was happy with the way it was recorded. He was just happy with everything. And the whole mood was very surcharged with that expansive consciousness. And so we were both listening to the music. And just in his room, just me and him. So I thought I was listening to the music in the beginning. I mean, you know, recording engineer ears, the balance, the tone quality, blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, I was within another dimension of perception. I saw the music, which is not unusual. I had seen music before. But this time I saw it, I smelled it, I tasted it, I touched it, I heard it all at once. It was solid, and it was I was within it. I perceived it in not as music anymore, but as an environment. okay, you know, I'm 22 years old. I've been in the Hare Krishna movement 6 months. My mind is quite bewildered. So I look over to Prabhupada. He's got this huge smile from here to here because he realizes I'm listening to it the same way he's listening to it. So it was at that point I got my first taste of what it actually means when there's complete awareness of all of the sensuality as an experience, not simply as a perception. Now, I could analyze that to pieces and I could give you commentaries about it. I leave it just as a story because it's just something that happened. Because I just like to tell you that these experiences come sometimes just simply because you're open to them. Now, sound itself is a frequency that is in the ether. But when all of the chakras are tuned to being perceptive gateways, that little frequency, which usually only enters into the ear, changes quality completely. It doesn't just affect you in the ears where the sound is translated in your brain and makes some kind of feeling within you. It's where the vibration on all levels, the frequency on all levels, affects things in ways which you're normally not consciously aware of. But it gives, you perceive the energies in the way in which each of these chakras is accustomed to taking a piece of the total experience. And when all the pieces of the perceptive experience come to you together, you see it with all all of its dimensions. To that degree to which each of your perceptive centers, I'm calling the chakras now perceptive centers because that is definitely what they are also, to the degree you can receive through these perceptive centers, your expansion into the dimension of awareness will increase accordingly. And these particular dimensions open according to the way in which you allow them to connect to you. But the connection only works if you connect to it. That means you grab onto it some way. That's the wrong word, but it's close. You know, you receive it and it hits you. It affects you. It has some impact on you. For example, the love that I may give to another, it really feels better to me if it's accepted by the other. There's a connection by the other. It's kind of like the difference of pouring water on a plate or pouring water in a cup. If you're pouring water on a plate, it just hits and bounces off. If you're pouring water in a cup, it fills up. In one way, it's wasted. In another way, forget about if you're going to wash dishes. In one way, it's wasted. In another way, it's preserved and utilized. So this receiving of the stimulus, receiving through the perceptive sense, is the way in which the connection is made. So when you receive through all of the chakras, you connect to the experience in a very broad and expansive manner. And your perception, your awareness, and your capacity to relate to this thing expands through all of the dimensions that are available in that experience. Now let me clarify what I meant by perceptions available in the dimensions of that experience. I mean to say that not every experience includes all dimensions of perceptivity, of perception. Rather, each particular experience has its own creation, its own mixture and integration into particular dimensional realities. If it was not so, then you would have a very incompatible mixture of negative things, positive things, tasty things, not tasty things, Things would be mixed together. They would be not defined as they actually are. When you tune to the source of an experience, you are tuning to the dimension within which the energy of that experience is coming to you. Right now, I'm creating an experience for you, I hope anyway. So I am the source of this experience which is projecting towards you. So you are now coming into my dimensions of reality. You are not connecting to dimensions of reality down my street, for instance, or anywhere else not connected to me right now as it comes to you. That's good. It keeps things clear. It doesn't make a mess. The problem with that is that if you are limiting your experiences to only those things you can come face to face, your dimensions of experience are limited to the dimensions available to the sources of the experience. So as the sources of experience have capacity, so your perception will expand according to that capacity. So these sources you can find somewhere on earth, you find somewhere not on earth. As you receive them according to your perceptive capacities, energetic perceptive capacities, you can expand your dimensional awareness. And when you can perceive like that, you will then taste all the dimensions of a perception. This will be a solid, multidimensional reality, which is very different than the restrictive ones that are now there. In other words, you start perceiving like the demigods perceive. You start to perceive according to the heavenly, celestial, to use these Vedic words, methodology of life. And Ganesh, who we are speaking about, because this is specifically the way in which he removes obstacles, one of the ways, sorry, this is the way he leads you, if you wish, right? You have to want to. Leads you into the perceptions of celestial consciousness. And therefore, it is so nice that he is finally underlined three times there in the St. Petersburg Center, which is the fountainhead of all of these activities that go on now today. Because he gives us the key. He shows us the door. He helps us turn the key. He helps us open the door that we can walk through. He even invites us, hold our hand, come. Now, if you are, shall we say, a very distracted spiritualist, a very limited spiritualist, one who's deathly afraid of any new steps that are outside of the norm that is accepted, you find this to be somewhat threatening. And you wonder where you're going. You're wondering, where does this all lead? Does this lead me to demigod worship? My God, I'll be condemned. What will this lead me to? My goodness, where will this go? Don't worry. Do not fear. If you enter into the realm of the celestial beings, they are in the realm of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Of course, they're the best devotees of all devotees, and they just will simply embrace you, and we will go together and dance our way to those experiences we all want anyway. Because when you have this capacity to experience multidimensionally, you will be able to look at the deities and experience them with your whole being. That's what we do when we contact and connect with the deities, when we do that meditation. The spiritual sound vibration is now a thick experience rather than just one that is heard. Oral, A-U-R-A-L, experience. Things in relationship to the deity. Let's say a flower. All of a sudden can be perceived multidimensionally if you have the capacity to do so. It will take too much time to explain about how that works with a flower, but that could be done at another time. But specifically speaking, your spirituality expands enormously. Now, why? Let's go back to the point about the intellectual dimension and the emotional dimension of the usual form of consciousness. In this expanded realm of consciousness, the intellectual dimension is the tool for the expression of the experience of the consciousness. It is the way in which you can explain to others what is going on in your reality. I mean, me personally, I don't think so much. I don't analyze so much. But when I have to explain to others, then my experiences, I look at them with the analytic mind, and I then describe them with my intellect. In other words, the intellect becomes a tool as part of the perceptive process, not the realm within which the dimension of perception exists. And again, the heart, the irrational feeling realm of the emotion and all that, this is one of the dimensions of the perception, specifically in the feeling towards other personalities or things. It's the way in which that emotionally can manifest, which is not explained to others, but which is expressed to others in feeling. Because each person is so much more than their mind or even their heart. Each person is a complete package of all of their energy. Their spiritual essence is manifesting through all of their energy centers, through their capacity and energy to analyze and intellect, their capacity to feel. It is all one energy that manifests through the different doorways of perception. And if you want to talk about the soul, you should definitely include all of these things in a package. And not restrict the poor soul to being a little infinitesimal speck within the heart covered by all this maya. It is so much more useful, so much more practical, and so much more real to get rid of that silly conception. I'm sorry. Okay, cancel the word silly. Sorry. Judgmental. To get rid of that impractical conception. That was my passion. You know, my Latin part of me, I suppose in Buenos Aires you guys can, you know, relate to that, the just, yeah, kind of thing. Anyway, okay, all right, we have some cheering going on down there, forget that. All right, so what we're speaking of here is that my soul, my being, my essence is all of my perception and that which I bring out from me. It's a package deal. It's all of me. Because as I am bringing in energies which all have information, I am also sending out energies which have information. That sound that comes to me has other forms of information with it, embedded within the sound, that I may perceive on other levels. My ears don't perceive that information, because that information is not to be perceived by ears. It is to be perceived by energy centers. Let's do an experiment. We can't do it now because it's not possible. But let's keep in mind this experiment. You do it on your own whenever you like. Sound is without a doubt the most powerful thing there is. And I'll give you just a quick explanation of how sound and sight are so different. Let's say you have a movie, a video image of some animal being tortured with no sound, simply the video image. It'll be some detached event, something you're looking at and you're saying, what's going on? This puzzles me. This is not nice. This is bad. But it doesn't affect you in the same way as it would if you only heard the soundtrack of that same event. Because the body and its cells and the picture of it is a very two-dimensional thing, it doesn't give the energy of the soul as dramatically. It's a little bit of the energy there. But the audio of it, the scream from the heart, the terror from the heart, that power goes through you and shakes you to your core. Now, I'm sorry to give such an example, but you know, you have to give sometimes powerful examples to make a point. And the sound is really the most powerful thing. But that works on all kinds of sounds. Take different kinds of music. If you just play, let's say, very sweet, very soothing, meditative kind of music, like I play during the meditations, and you just let yourself be open, you just accept, you stand, let's see if I can fit in the picture enough to show you, I'm kind of wired up here, you just kind of stand like this and just receive that sound vibration, then you will feel it. You will get information on all of the levels of your chakra. It will make you, as a perception, feel in a very solid way a particular kind of a perception. And in the other experiment, you can take some kind of a very heavy modern music of frustrated youth, right? With a real heavy banging, beating, screaming. An expression of how they feel about the world and their consciousness and just the tearing and the ripping of the sounds, and just receive that and see the different impression of the package. You can do that with all kinds of music, classical music or country music or Celt music, or again, you can see the feeling, you can perceive the dimension of the sound, and then you can do it with bhajan and kirtan, and it's not just because somebody does kirtan that makes it better. Somebody can be giving you an energy in that kirtan, which is also not very useful. It doesn't matter that you're just chanting, let's say, spiritual vibration. That isn't even so. Just chanting, let's say, names of God, that means ipso facto, it is spiritual. When your consciousness is distorted, that which you express, even if you use the names of God, will be giving a distorted, comprehensive picture. And when you're giving a very comprehensive picture of a pure, simply being the servant of the name, of the holy name, for instance, when you chant, it's a very beautiful picture. But then again, if the sound that you are making is not very nice, or makes the ear go, ugh, even if you're giving all that beautiful stuff, it just doesn't work as a package, because the ear rejects it. During Lord Chaitanya's kirtans, the kirtan leaders had the sweetest, use that word, sweetest voices, melodious voices, expert, like Swarup Damodar Goswami, expert. You're talking about super, absolute, professional, trained, cultured, sweet voices with beautiful, spiritual, energetic packages. In this way, the ear accepts the sound. You have to. It's just so gorgeously done. It doesn't matter what country you're from or what culture you're from, you just, ooh, that sounds so nice. So the ear drinks it up, but at the same time, the other centers get these other information. In fact, the information says, let me in, I'm so beautiful, you don't want to keep me out. I remember once in Cairo, in our place there, I was just listening. We were just two blocks from a mosque, and every evening, I don't remember when, it was in the early evening, the priest would start chanting over the microphone. He used to sit up way up in the tower and just chant there. And it was just like outrageously gorgeous and beautiful. I would just listen. Had no idea what I was listening to, and I couldn't care less. I just soaked it up. It was just so nice. You know, I used to sing in the chorus in my high school for many years, and we did the Handel's Messiah Hallelujah Chorus. So I know it by heart. So I think it was on Christmas Day, just before, I listened to a live broadcast of that from Chicago, I think, or I forgot where. It was just, you know, everybody jumping up and down. And I was jumping up and down. It was so cool, so much energy, so much just pure joy and spirituality. So you can just absorb that information coming like that. It's just so nice. But even if you are giving the same form of the vibration, yet you don't have the complete package, it doesn't have the same effect. So these different dimensions, not only do you perceive them, but the same capacity gives you the possibility to project them to others in the same manner. Many people can say the same thing, but according to their capacity to project that energy that is compatible to what they are speaking from their energetic centers towards the listener is to that degree to which they have potency and capacity and power in their presentation. So these expansions of the dimensions of perception are required for the perceivers and those who are the sources of experience. And I'm really sorry, I just realized I've been going on and on and on for a long time here, but I just kind of like got so into this discussion that, I mean, I could go on for longer, I mean, taking up this detail of it, that detail of it, but I'll stop there and then we can have a break because it was much too long. And today, I know Manojava requested we do something for his children because they're sick. But at the same time, I had other requests, that many of them actually, that this trying to do healing meditation is very difficult for a lot of people. And I think it could also have not very good effects also. So I would like to today do meditation on expanding the dimensions of awareness and having Dinesh help us in this way, maybe try to make a travel in his realm. We can also put in a request if some healing energy can be done by the higher authorities for Manojava's children. Because when you're in those realms, your intentions become crystallized very rapidly. So let's take a little break. I'll play a little bit of music and we can come back in a little while. Why don't we say at the hour, which is about an 11-12 minute break. It's going to be 12 o'clock my time. I don't know whatever time it is your time. We'll just take a break right now. Thank you. I didn't record that meditation. I thought I did, but I didn't. And then I realized later the reason was because you shouldn't record such meditations. They have to be in context. So either you got them or you don't. Oh, okay, well, there you go. But without the music. No, don't do that, Panchadara. You're just going to make me hungry. That's not nice. No, that's not nice. I can't eat your picture of your samosa. I'm kind of in the mood only to talk about things which were in relation to what we did today. Okay, so go right ahead if you have any question about that. Question coming. I never thought of that. That's a good question. Actually, if you think about it, it'd probably be much better to have it just on the outside wall of the temple because it would be more relevant to what happens in the walls of the room. But it has to be sure that nobody will take it. But I hope I didn't stumble into a political discussion of anything. It's just something that seems to does me. Oh, I did. Oh, cool. There you go. But you guys do whatever you want. You're in charge over there, not me. And you do whatever you think is best. There are explanations and reasons and that you could use in all directions. So, did I start a controversy or what? Okay. Any other questions? I guess nobody really has questions. Oh, here comes something. Hang on. Let me see if I understand this. This meditation on Ganesh can do with no personal or do it with another kind. The question is on the structure of the meditation we just did. It wasn't a meditation with a structure. It was just a journey with Ganesh. So I suppose if you want to do a journey with Ganesh, you have to do it with Ganesh. The mantra is specifically a Ganesh mantra. It was absolutely specifically for Ganesh. And like I answered before, if you write to me in the HariMedia.net forums, I can give you that mantra. HariMedia.net. Not yet. That mantra was given to me by the oracle in Jagannath Puri. And I'm really glad I could share it with you in that way. Now, it's possible. I mean, you could adapt that method of doing things to go to other places with other personalities. I don't know. I never would even think of doing that. Somebody's complaining about interruptions in the video, saying that they couldn't get anything. In that case where the video is really bad, listen to the audio, especially if you're in Russia, because the audio comes from Russia. Okay. Can you say it in Russian too for everybody listening in Russian? I know this is a question that comes up again and again because our rational minds are very eager to understand how this person and that person is the same and how this part of that tradition is the same as this part of that tradition. We like to make it so that universally all is within the same reality because it solidifies our belief and experience within our own system of seeing things. Now, to a certain extent, you can, yes, do that if you want to do it. But in another way, it's not always possible because these personalities have, shall we say, multiple ways or their capacity to relate with us is so much greater than we can understand. So in one sense, these personalities can be dealing with certain groups of people with one kind of a methodology or one kind of a mood, with other groups of people with another methodology, another mood. You do it yourself when you deal with different people in your own life. And to force the two together, even if they were to have the same source, would make your particular understanding of the energy that you wish to connect to mixed. It would be not clear. It would be not as effective. I mean, let's take, for example, Gabriel and Ganesh. Now, when people have already developed systems, they have cultural experiences, they have ways in which they deal with Archangel Gabriel, and then all the Hindus have all their particular ways of dealing with Ganesh and everything about Ganesh, and they are quite culturally different, functionally different to some extent, and the mood feels somewhat different because of the persons who connect to them. Now, I am definitely not into sectarianism. In no way do I say you have to stick with the Hindu way of doing it, otherwise you're a Pashandi. I mean, one of the nicest experiences, you know, in a series of experiences I've ever had is when Jasmuheen had, you know, archangels standing on either side of us while we were doing the shield in her meditations there in St. Petersburg. I mean, their celestial energy was as real, as powerful, as personal, as everything, as any experience in any other cultural phenomenon. So it was a wonderful, relevant, evolutionary experience. I just accepted totally her context that she did it in, as just fine and perfect for me right then and there, and it was all great. If I had to worry about, well, who really is this Archangel Michael she's talking about, I'd get in trouble. In other words, you want my recommendation? Maybe you want another answer, but my recommendation would be, don't worry about it. Just accept the Vedic demigods as they are. Accept the Roman gods or the Greek gods or the Norse gods or as they are. Accept the conceptions of the Christian gods, or not gods, but saints or archangels or angels as they are within those contexts, because it's just wonderful in all respects. How could it be otherwise? For all of these energies are there to help us in a specific kind of an environment. And when we enter into that environment, it is very nice. For example, I know that most healers or many healers contact the energy of Christ. He works through the healers. His healing energy is enormous, is wonderful. His compassion is fantastic. It's the greatest. So why do we have to put him in some other cultural context in order to understand him? Just accept it as it is. Accept the energy, the love as it is, the personality as he is. You don't have to mix. It's not needed. It's kind of like, you know, one room in your house is a little blue theme and another room is a bamboo green theme and there's different plants and everything. The furniture matches the themes. You go in different rooms, you feel different ways, and they're all good. But if you're going to have, let's say, the altar there in St. Petersburg, you would want to have a consistent theme, because otherwise it creates cross-cultural memories which make things confusing. So there is much to be said for that consistency. It makes things comfortable for the personalities there. It makes things comfortable for us. It makes things flow in a particular way. But we don't have, we like all the energies. We work with all those energies. And we wouldn't mind bringing them in, even in our temple room, just like when Jasmuheen did it. It's great. It's wonderful. For example, let's say you decide, whether it's right or wrong, that's not the point. You decide that Archangel Gabriel and Ganesh are the same actual personality. So you're in that meditation we just did, and we're entering into that environment of Ganesh. We're on our way to Kailas. And then you decide you're going to see him as Archangel Gabriel. What do you think would happen in your journey? Well, I can tell you what would happen. It would be like you're walking very nice on nice grass, and all of a sudden you have to walk over a few rocks, and somehow or another your mind gets distracted by the rocks. Because not that anything to do with Gabriel would be rocks, but rather it would be such a different experience, the transformation, the difference, the change due to our cultural imprinting would cause some kind of a disturbance in the singularity and cohesiveness of the experience. Okay, Panchadara says that he's asking because he has many Reiki disciples and he'd like to teach them according to their own beliefs. For instance, Catholic. Everybody in Argentina is Catholic. No problem. Fine. As long as you know that you're connecting to these personalities and you know how to gain the same results that you need for your own development and for your own ability to teach and your own power generation and transferal power. It doesn't matter. I mean, all these personalities are wonderful. They all love you, and when you love them, it works fine. And if you need to believe that personality and that tradition is that personality in a tradition you only accept as true, then better you avoid another tradition. In other words, if you think that any other tradition only has validity in so much as it correlates with your belief, then you should avoid it, because you get nothing out of it. You should just stick to your own belief, because that's all you believe anyway. And if you understand that I can have these spiritual, beautiful experiences within any environment, because I'm a spiritual person and I accept the environment of spirituality and I'll enter into it and understand it in that way. I don't need a crutch, for instance, or a fixed idea of what is reality. I can go through spirituality in its infinite variety. In other words, you see spirituality independently of the external things that surround it. All you care about is the essence of the experiences you are having. And when you wish to be of service to others, it is very advantageous for you to use the vocabulary and use the cultural experiences or familiarity which people can accept and where they can grow from, the state from which they can grow from. It's, if you wish to do it that way, it's very advantageous. So the real point is that how do you feel you can best share yourself, your experiences, and your capacities with others when you are in a position that this is part of your life, to do that sharing? How do you do it best? That's your, you have to figure it out. Now some people have an impossible time to mix. They say, this is the way I see it, this is the way it is, this is the way I want to do it. But that's fine, because if they were to try to do something else, it would add so much more burden onto their expression, so much more burden onto their capacity. So let it be singular if they wish it to be. I think Kamala Mala wants to arrange some conference that we can all have together there, where you all discuss first about it. I wrote some points about it, and then we can all discuss together in a video conference about what to do with the desire for having other deities there. Yeah, we can do separate healing events for other people. That is a very good suggestion. It's just that it's very hard to gather everybody together. And also for me, this Saturday thing is a big thing. It just chops out my whole Friday afternoon through Saturday up till about 3:30 or so. It just chops out that whole part of my life. So it's like a big thing, even though it may not look like such a big thing. But to get this all together properly requires some, like, you know, meditation, figuring out what to do with it, the technology behind it, the people's problems, and so on. And, you know, my personal situation, dogs to walk and food to eat and, you know, sleep that has to happen and the kitchen has to be cleaned and all that other stuff. There's a whole pile of stuff that goes around us that, you know, anyway. I am not complaining. I love it. I mean, even doing this twice a week would require, I need a support group. I'm just doing it with once a week. Twice a week, you're going to have to send me a support group. So I don't think you can do that. So let's try to make some compromise here. I have a question here from Punch, but I don't know if I really want to deal with it. He's asking about, I'm not going to mention names and I'm not going to, he's saying that there are different personalities. And he feels that they are the same person. And the reason he gives for that feeling is since when he meditates on these personalities, he feels the same thing. I'm not exactly sure in which way he uses the word feel, but just simply using those words that are there in the question, I would say that just because you feel the same thing when you're with different people doesn't mean they're the same person. That doesn't logically follow, that just because you feel the same thing, you can think of examples, you may feel the same thing with, you know, shall we say, three people who do Celtic music. You may feel the same way. It doesn't mean they're the same person. Of course, I'm sure that's not what he means specifically, but it may just be that you are tuning to the particular qualities of these personalities that you wish to tune to, and therefore you feel the same thing because it's what you're feeling is the tuning that you are doing. And if you were to just accept the energy from them totally neutrally, you might have a different perception. Like I said, I wanted to get questions which relate to this particular thing we did. But somehow, I think it might be good if we ended here. I think it's a lot of time has gone by. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about practical affairs right now. We've been having these forums in HariMedia.net, and discussions have been going on which are, I think, good to have. They kind of like allowed things to be said that have to be said at least once. But I would like it if you all found it interesting to exchange amongst yourselves in the Free Exchange Amongst Members forums, because while you're exchanging amongst yourselves, I can observe and see how you are exchanging. It will give me more insight into what would be a good way to do things. I mean, I know the forums are only 6 days old and all that, and obviously it has to develop, but I would also be interested in reading when you go into the Free Exchange forum, that you exchange amongst yourselves, you open different threads, you create discussions, and I guarantee I'll read them, don't worry. I'm not going to comment, but I'll read them. Unless you want. Because remember, you are creating this, what we do, this nameless interaction we're having here. You create what we do here as much as I do. I mean, you are actually, for me, as important as I am in this interaction. I try to read as best I can your desires for what should go on, but there's a lot of people involved, so it's hard to really get it pinpointed relevant. So, another practical consideration. No more practical consideration. Thank you. That's the most practical thing I can say. Thank you. Thank you for all of those who are actually actively participating in making everything happen nicely, and thank all of you who are participating, because there's no need to actively make anything happen unless you participate. So just thank everybody just for being there.